Hello.
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 Amazing.
I was trying to move my headphone and try and sing hard.
I think you sang that same note I did, Maddie. And you're supposed to go up another third.
I think you can suck a dick and go to hell. And I sang what I wanted to sing.
The gays are here. Good luck, everyone. Rick, roll the music. Roll the music.
Everybody,
welcome everyone to a very, I would say, special. It's more chaotic, honestly. It might be your last episode.
Yes.
Of I Think Not.
Let's close it out.
I am Ellen Marsh, and across from me is Joey Taranto and a bunch of gays who just crashed our recording.
That's what gays are good for.
Y'all, we have Maddie and Poodle from Reality Gays. Say hi, boys.
Hi, everybody. Cheers.
Cheers.
Hi, everyone. I'm Maddie, and that really gay voice is Poodle.
My voice is so gay.
I sound like Butch Top. I mean, everybody hears this lisp and they're like, manly.
Someone left a review once that just went, lisp, 1 star.
I respect it.
I tend to agree. Why do you guys talk like that?
Lisp.
So welcome to the episode where I once again become a homophobe.
I don't blame you.
Because when I am surrounded by these three, you all, they are joining us today. And it is a very exciting day because this is the first time we are reprising a show that we loved so much. We're doing another season of it. You all, it is Smug Shot Season 2. And the first episode is a little different than last season, right, Joey?
Did you say this is the first time we're reprising a show that we've already done?
Yeah, on the main feed.
But we've done that before.
With what?
Uh-oh, they're fighting.
Mommy and Mommy are upset.
Didn't we do it with I Almost Got Away With It and...
No, we just did it on the Patreon and then the main feed.
I don't this like is... your attitude. I don't like you. I don't like the way you're yelling at me right now.
She just got mom voice on you.
Y'all, I'm very excited for Smug Shot Season 2. And also, this is the perfect episode to do with you guys.
Apologies now. We love you, but if you have to leave this one, I get it, because these two are menaces.
It's going to be bad.
You already have the two of us, and then you add them, and then you add this ridiculous show. For those of you who don't know Maddie and Poodle, they have the Reality Gays podcast, and they cover trash.
Yeah.
Tell them about it, guys.
We do.
Top tier trash. Our main show is 90 Day Fiancé, but we also cover Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, and the best, show ever, Seeking Sister Wife. But also Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, yeah.
People have asked us to cover that. I don't know if I can handle it.
Oh.
It's fucking incredible.
I kind of would love to pick an episode and have y'all do it with us.
That would be so fun.
It's about polygamy, yes, but it's about morons who don't understand really what polygamy is because it's too hard. It's just, it's filmed with the right amount of camp and also the really bad relationships with no boundaries. And it's just, it's a fucking car crash. It's a wonderful watch.
Let's get on to the madness. Season 2, episode 1 of Smug Shot, Aussie Abduction.
The two missing are Julian Buckwall, 23, and his 17-year-old girlfriend, Caroline Watson.
They seem to have vanished into thin air. Just went out for a nice picnic and never came back. No leads and no trace of them.
A satanic note has been found by their parents, urging them not to contact the police, or harm will come to their children.
No comment.
To have a young couple with no criminal history go missing with links to a satanic cult, that was one out of the box. Our absolute ultimate goal is to find them as quickly as possible and safe.
I just want to say, I know we have a lot of Australian listeners. I love Australia. It is one of my dream destination. But through this episode, y'all's accent is so unserious. The way they talk about highly sensitive things with this accent.
Yeah.
So I just want to say off the bat, I'm going to be insufferable.
Yep, good.
Joey does a great Australian accent. I'm going to guess Maddie does not. And I'm on the fence with Poodle.
My Australian accent's great. I sound just like I'm from down under.
Mine's okay.
Do it, Poodle.
How I find it is one phrase that a guy on Married at First Sight once said, Cyrell is quite a complicated person.
Okay,
And I did think about one thing in her voice. If I thought about one thing in what the girl's voice, Caroline.
Yeah.
She would say, Julian, why are there all types of ropes and wires and tape in the back of the car when we're going for our picnic?
Okay. That's about a six, but I'm not much better. Joey does a great Australian.
No, it's not. So, it's on par with y'all's. I thought that was pretty good also.
It's not great.
Thank you.
I'm telling you now, prepare to be sick of all of us because we really are going to drive it home big time.
This episode was stupid too.
Also, can I ask what smug shot means? Is it like funny?
It's smug criminals.
Yes.
Oh.
Like this guy had no.
Wow. God, that's cynical.
Yeah, this guy has no remorse.
Yeah, we loved season one. Season one was a blast.
Well, like Ellen said, we are in Australia, the land of one of my all-time favorite queens, Olivia Newton-John.
Yes.
Xanadu.
Xanadu.
Yes, Xanadu. Rest in peace, my queen. Rest in peace.
Yes, we are in Australia with the lead investigator, Matt Gleason. They tell us very casually they've only come into it after 2 days.
Yeah, good.
Two teens are missing. No one's heard from them. Could be dead. Could be alive. Could be eaten by a dingo.
I think that's great.
Dingo.
It's like all of their cortisol levels are so low.
Yeah.
So in this case, there are two people who have gone missing. Julian Buchwald, who's 24, and 17-year-old Carolyn Watson.
And what's so bad about that, that age difference?
I thought he was 22.
Well, they say 23 for a while, but there's still a big difference between 17 and 22.
Yeah.
Well, creepy. That's why it's important here that they tell us that these two are religious. They come from religious homes. So there is no, what's the Australian way of saying anal?
Anal?
Hey, no, in this house, we love Jesus and we don't do anal. You know, no.
That's
really a good one.
Good.
See, I told you.
Wow, that kind of made my dick move, Joey.
Okay.
That was good.
Well, let me tell you something. Speaking of making your dick move, they just jump right into the action here on Smug Shots. They are raw dogging us because there's no ease into it. They're like, two people are missing.
I was expecting like a who they were, where we were, what was the year, none of it.
And also, there's a conspicuous lack of focus on the victim. Victims in a way or hearing from even families of the victims that makes this feel weird.
Yeah, no, the police, the investigators are just like, oh no, they're missing.
Where are they? They disappeared.
Okay, Joey, you know how we overshare here, so I'm just going to say it. Sexy time with my partner, so much better these days.
Oh, okay, here she goes. Tell the people, Ellen.
All right, listen, once you hit a certain age, dryness is real, and it can totally get in the way of pleasure. But Miracle Melts from Playground, life saver. Y'all, these little hyaluronic acid hydrating inserts, tiny, easy, no hormones, and they melt so everything feels comfortable again. So whether you're in perimenopause or postpartum or experiencing pain for any reason, Miracle Melts could be right for you.
No squeaky doors. Got it.
Exactly. And here is the fun part. I love pairing Miracle Melts with Playground's lubricants when I'm with my partner, hydrated, silky, and slippery. There, I said it.
Okay, but wait, because I've had some fun with their lubes too. Not in the same way, thank you very much, but let's just say they deliver.
They really do. So whether you want comfort, connection, or just a little extra fun, Playground's got you.
Go to helloplayground.com and check out Miracle Melts. And maybe toss a lube in your cart while you're at it. Use code THINKNOT for 15% off.
Trust me, your body and your partner will thank you.
Julian Buchwald and Carolyn Watson, two teens, reported by the family, indicated they'd gone on a picnic and that they'd gone missing from there. So we had to backtrack from that last location where they were seen and work out the sequence of events that followed from there on.
We meet Jennifer Locke, who's a detective inspector. And what is that?
I don't know, but it looked like she was wearing prison clothes the whole time. Like, it was this, like, prison blues. And I was like, is she behind bars talking to us. Did she do something? And then it was like a prison haircut.
Not a stitch of makeup.
But I assume that Jennifer Locke is a tough customer. And she's not a Sheila who likes to put a lot of makeup on her face.
No, she's like, you know, one thing about me is I hate the gays. And because of that, my looks suffer because nobody will do my hair. No one will teach me how to put on makeup.
That happens.
I thought she was locked up. It was just what she was wearing was so plain. And she's like, well, this is my Tuesday everyday look. You know.
Well, basically, Jennifer tells us, like, you know, when we first caught wind of this, like, we weren't thinking that this was that big of a deal, that maybe, you know, yes, the family was distraught or whatever, but we were thinking, like, we'll find them. But they've run into some problems, y'all.
So naturally, these very unserious investigators.
We all jumped in the cars.
Jump in the cars.
Sorry, I told you I was going to be insufferable. So they have to go to their parents to get more information. Caroline's parents are Jeanette and Chris. Of course, they're distraught and worried, terrified, anxious. Remember, still Australian, still casual. And now we meet the junior reporter. And honestly, I'll just, you guys have at it. Go ahead.
David Woywood.
This, I mean, he got cuter when he's older, but when they show the flashback, it's so.
I could see him on a Mardi Gras float in Sydney.
Oh.
Just dancing on a box.
I could have seen him like on a cover of an XY magazine.
Oh
in
my
the early
God,
2000s.
You're really bringing it back.
The twinkness with the hair, the like, he had the spiky hair, and it was, and I just thought, this guy, he reported about a murder, and then he went and took three loads. You know he did. Like, he just looked, it had all the look
I'll
on it.
I'll see you at Steamworks, boys.
Yeah, there was a murder today. Fuck my ass. I'm telling you, that's how he got through it. Because this case was
David
crazy.
Warwood. That's how you decompress.
No, what did you do
it's
yesterday?
True.
Oh, I reported on a murder. Then last night I got bent over a pool table where I grasped for leverage while I took three loads.
And this was pre-prep. He was playing with fire, but he didn't care.
I was just like a wallaby laying there.
Well, what David Woywood tells us is that this case just got stranger and stranger. First of all, and I have to tell you, I don't know if this young woman who went missing, if her name is Carolyn or Caroline, because every accent says it differently. Sometimes they're like Caroline. Who knows? I'm going to go with Caroline. Yeah. But neither Carolyn or Julian have a cell phone. Neither of them have credit cards.
And this is 2008.
They didn't explain it.
I didn't know it was 2008. I'm glad you caught it. I missed it.
Why would you not have a phone or credit card?
Is this some type of religious community that's cut off, like on that movie?
Practical Magic.
M. Night Shyamalan? Feels like some like religious community that this could happen in a place
village?
Like this. The Village.
Well, I do think it's important for people to know. I think sometimes Americans at least think evangelicalism and that type of religion is only indicative of here.
No, it's in Australia.
What are they called? Hillsong or whatever.
I looked it up in this area of.
It's the rural part of Australia, right?
It is, but it's like a lot of people identify as no religion. So, because I was looking that up and I was like, is this like a place where people are like really religious? Maybe they went to like the same church or something.
I mean, they're conservative. Hugh Jackman still won't come out. He's fucking what's her name. You know, they just stay in the closet.
Again, Sutton Foster, not a what's her name.
Well, that's fine.
Well, listen, whatever it is, it is bizarre. And your boyfriend, Twink David Woywood, says they had all their shoes on the front porch, which makes sense because if you're wearing your shoes in the house, you get hepatitis.
You're a monster. Yeah, you're a normal person if you take your shoes off outside. And if you wear your shoes inside, you're a monster. And then if you go to someone's house who has their shoes outside and you walk with your shoes inside, you are a double monster and you deserve bad things.
Wow, that escalated quickly.
100%.
Again, adding to the oddity of this whole investigation, someone had taken the left shoe of every pair of shoes that was on the porch.
This had really thrown another element into this case, and for one, it was absolutely baffling police.
What is this?
Talk about my left foot.
But
boy.
The detective, Mike, says, not sure why they did this, unless it was a one-legged bandit who needed those shoes. I was like, oh, he's got jokes.
I'll be here all week. Yeah.
Wait, did you guys notice that there was some reenactment actor when they were telling that story just arbitrarily taking a tape measure?
Yes!
And I was like, are you measuring the distance between the shoes? Did someone have a wide foot? Did someone have some kind of plantar fasciitis? What are we doing?
They have like a chopstick. The chopstick is looking in the heel of the shoe like I'm investigating.
Also, all the B-roll they tried to show us was this blurry B-roll of their life before it. And they kept doing it on the birthday party where people go, happy birthday to you. and like scary music. I'm like, what the fuck does the birthday have to do with it?
Nothing.
Nothing.
When they said the whole story about the left shoes was confusing, do you guys know what they said in the episode?
No, what did they?
It's alarming.
It
was alarming. I warned you, I'm going to be a terrible person.
No, it's great.
Carolyn and Julian came from very religious homes. They were very devout themselves. And so Julian had actually asked Carolyn's parents for permission to take her on this picnic on the family property.
Picnic.
Does she get out of the house very often?
I don't know.
That's what it kind of felt like.
She's 17. Like, she's kind of a baby.
I guess. But this, he kept saying, I'd asked her, I'd made pre-arrangements to take her out. It's this
it
kind
did
of
feel very Little House on the Prairie.
They're going to go to the box social.
Oh, God.
Well, but then they spoke with Julian's pastor.
The pastor told us of Julian wanting to marry Carolyn as soon as she finished year 12.
Once she graduated high school.
Yeah.
But Carolyn was planning on going to college. And so, okay, essentially the investigators are thinking, hold on, did Julian convince Carolyn to run away with him? Is that what we're dealing with?
Did they run away together?
Oh, it's love. Mm-hmm. We're going to go run away to Xanadu.
Xanadu. Maybe even Queensland.
So detectives go to Julian's mother's house to speak with her to see what she knows. And turns out she knows some things.
That woman walking around in, it was supposed to be his mother, Julian's mother, just lurking around in the house, just like looking through windows like she's a ghost herself, looked like Harry Potter's aunt.
Yeah.
The Dursleys.
Under the stairs.
She's like, what's doing here?
That is how they had her.
I've been living in this house for so long.
But she was like giving them information, right? She was giving them information and telling them where to look because it was their land and they owned like 200 fucking acres.
Why was she portrayed as the old lady who lived at the end of the street or something? It was a weird thing.
Yeah. I think she was weird.
Later on, you don't know if she helped him to get away.
Right.
I don't think people realize like 200 acres is like, I remember growing up in Oklahoma, the McMurtries had 40 acres and just one time they had a, speaking of, it's the right time, they had a Halloween.
Like Larry McMurtry?
No relation.
Okay.
They had a Halloween party and then what was her last name? It was Jessica
Simpson.
No, Jessica Simpson was close in Dallas, but Jessica Gilchrist, she got lost because she went off with a boy who, this kid who was in high school, and it turns out he was bipolar and he was having some type of manic episode, and he ran off and left her in the woods, and they couldn't find Jessica Gilchrist for 2 days, and then they found her in some barn sleeping like 2 days later in the middle of Oklahoma, but she was still on their property, and that was 30 acres that they couldn't find this person. So 200 acres is a fucking lot. By the way, the bipolar guy killed himself. He died. But anyway, like a year later. So we don't have to worry about him like kidnapping anybody anymore. But I just think about 200 acres is a lot.
We got through it, y'all.
Great story. I'm really bad at acre stuff.
Yeah, I thought you were. That's why I told that story.
I enjoyed that story, but it still doesn't give me...
They never do.
I can get lost at a Marshall. So,
you know, now Jessica runs children's pageants back at home in Oklahoma.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the pageant. I message her all the time with comments.
So many acres. And that's when they bring out the helicopter, or as Celine Dion calls it, helicopters.
This is incredibly rugged terrain. If you don't know it, it's very easy to get lost. You need some form of knowledge of that region to actually survive out there.
We went very large, very loud with the media to try and get all the descriptions and the information out around the car, and around Julian, and around Carolyn.
And then it just shows clips of very calm reporters going, a couple has been not seen. Like, police are very worried about the two children.
They're so calm.
Twink Report was on there saying, they don't know where to find them.
And there's bad recreations of the tips in monotone voices. I thought I saw a girl with that description the other day getting coffee at a Hardee's. And another one was like, yes, I saw her too. And it's these weird...
That's why we love this show, because everything is weird.
I'm really into it. I'm not going to lie. I saw the next week on and I'm into it.
Then we get the most exciting thing possible. A satanic cult has kidnapped two local teens. A letter was found without a warning to keep away or harm will come to the hostages.
Joey, guess what? What? This podcast is sponsored by Smalls.
Y'all, let me tell you something. I took my cats from L.A. to San Diego, and when they got here, they're like, why would you do this to us? Where are we?
It's true.
Is this a hostage situation? And then the minute I took out Smalls' cat food, they were like, ah, yes, something familiar. Give me that food. And they were so happy in 2 seconds.
Well, I'm sure Edie ate Tucker's share.
How dare you?
We'll talk about that another time. You all have heard us talk about Smalls and how our cats collectively cannot live without it. Y'all, you know I love a deal. Listen up. For a limited time, you can get 60% off your first order plus free shipping. That is a bigger discount than we have ever offered. And I'm pretty sure they're doing it because once your cats taste Smalls and you know that it's protein packed and it's made with preservative free ingredients, so it's good for you and good for them, I'm pretty sure they know that they're gonna have fans for life.
Look, the truth is that my cats are my kids. They just are. I love my babies and I want the best for them. And that's why I love Smalls cat food, because it's fresh, protein-rich meals that support my cat's health and happiness. I want them to experience love throughout all 9 of their lives.
And if you want some research-based facts, after switching to Smalls, 88% of cat owners reported overall health improvements. That's a lot of improvements.
And Smalls is so confident that your cat will love their product that you can try it risk-free. That means they'll refund your money if your cat won't eat their food. Spoiler alert, the cat will eat the food.
We love that. So, what are you waiting for?
Give your cat the food they deserve.
For limited time, because you're an I Think Not listener, get 60% off your first order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/think.
One last time, that's 60% off your first order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/think.
Right, so Julian's mom finds this note in a turpentine bottle.
In a turpentine bottle.
Turpentine is toxic. Mm-hmm. It is poisonous. Mm-hmm. They just breeze over it. Why was it a turpentine bottle?
It also sings really well. Turpentine!
Whoever put this was like, I need to put this somewhere. And you just have this bottle of turpentine.
It's terrible.
You could die if that's ingested.
I'm not even going to tell you the story about the cultures.
I'm not just trying to figure out why they just had a bottle of turpentine around.
That's what I mean.
Because one thing about Satanists, they love Satan and they love turpentine.
Isn't it paint thinner?
True.
Because my grandpa used to have one. He always had turpentine on his farm because he's taking paint off something.
I think it is paint thinner, yeah.
So was your grandpa in Australia at this time? Is he a suspect?
No, he died like he had a hatatark in the middle of his farm.
Uh-oh.
Dead. Had a hatatark and died right there looking up at the sky.
He had a hatatark.
You guys were here shortly after Joey's dad had a hatatark, and now his mom died, and yes. I think it's Maddie's fault.
Why are we always on your show after Joey loses one of his parents?
And it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Because you guys talk about it, and you put it into existence. Stay the fuck away from my mom, okay? I only have a mom. I don't have a dad.
Oh, my God. This episode, 12 hours later.
Did you guys zoom in on the note?
I watched it, but I did not. I should have paused it and zoomed in, and now I feel inadequate.
Did you zoom in, Maddie?
I didn't zoom in, but yeah. What was the content?
It's really weird. It says, "You bloody couldn't leave us alone, so your son and girl went walkabout. You get Caroline and Matthew back when you finish our business in the area, but only if you behave yourself and you don't shit us around again. Tell everyone they're on holiday. Don't you dare talk to the fucking cops. And you'll get your kids back." Everything is misspelled.
Did see the misspelling, yeah.
Everything is misspelled. And like, your is like, you are, what do you call that?
Stupid.
Gen Z texting.
But this was 2008, so.
Exactly.
And they didn't have phones.
Right. Also, the cursing in this letter is terrible. It's like someone's first day cursing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You shit us around.
Oh, yeah.
What did he say? You shit it. I think I said that right. You shit us around.
Don't you dicking talk to me like that.
I feel like to give people context, I like to do this. If you don't remember what 2008, I always go back to what was the number one song, because I think that helps us remember the time. And I looked it up, and the number one song was "Low" by Flo Rida and T-Pain. So just to tell you.
I think it's Flo Rida.
That's what I said, Flo Rida.
Did you just say Flo Rida?
Flo Rida.
Right? Excuse me?
You know, low.
I'm aware of the song.
That's the time that we're living in.
Have you never heard that person's name pronounced to say Flo-Rida?
Dear Flo-Rida, this is Satan. Quit shitting us around.
So it turns out that Julian's mother got a letter from Satan, as well as Carolyn's parents.
I got a letter from Satan. I got a letter from Satan. I got a letter from Satan, and you don't get none too.
But wait, then the detective reads us more of what this thing says.
This note indicated and was directed to the father of Carolyn, Christopher Watson, telling him to mind his own business and do not contact the police. Tell everyone they are on holiday. Don't you dare talk to the f***ing cops again and you'll get your kids back. S*** us again and you will never see them again because we'll f*** the girl to death and burn her alive and the bloody boy will really enjoy to torture and sacrifice. This is your last warning.
And my question was, where was the first warning?
Boy.
It said, this is your last warning, which is fair. But how many warnings did they get? And
good
how
question.
Were they alerted of the warning?
I've listened to a lot of kidnapping cases or podcasts about kidnapping cases. They're almost always false if there's not a ransom demand right away, especially when they're just kidnapping where it's two people, something like that. If it's children, that's a whole different thing. If you're kidnapping an adult, it's like a couple or something like that. There's no way that it's going to be someone who, why would someone want to kidnap two people who are basically adults?
So you're saying that it's a red flag when someone asks for ransom?
No, when they don't ask for a ransom.
The satanic message didn't send anything. It just said, we'll give them back if you be quiet. What's the reasoning? Did the parents have any beef with local satanic chapters of which there aren't any?
Well, they were Christian, so obviously they had beef with Satan.
That's true.
They were like, I don't know if you know it, in this area of Australia, they came up with a song that goes like this. Step on a crack, break Satan's back. And so Satan didn't like that too much.
We're going to pay those teenagers a lesson.
You're right. It's weird, but like the end of the letter gets really aggressive and scary.
Yeah.
Like, fuck her to death. That's terrible. That's terrible.
I got to say, you know, I've been fucked pretty close to death. And I will say, before it gets there, pretty damn enjoyable. At least you die happy.
He took Jimmy Kimmel off the air. They're going to do the same to all four of us if they get wind.
I also want to say, just buckle up because this story is going to take some twists and turns and then you'll be like, oh, I understand why y'all were light about this. Well, so now it's been 7 days since the disappearance. The parents are terrified.
Sorry, Joey, just for the context for the listeners, the officer really clarifies what 7 days is.
They've been missing for 7 days, which is a long time.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That was needed. Go ahead, Joey.
Yeah. Well, the parents are terrified. The cops are lost as fuck because they have nothing other than the hostage letters from Satan.
Yes.
So one night out of nowhere, the police get a call from Constable Ray Moreland.
All the way in Buchan.
All the way in Buchan, Australia. And he's like, hi, I have some interesting news for you. I got a call from a farmer who was like, hey, I found a 22-year-old guy and a 17-year-old woman on my property, and I learned that they had been missing for 8 days and had possibly been abducted. Can you come here? Because this is weird.
Why didn't we interview the farmer to hear his side of the story, too?
Also, just for context, this is 200 miles away from Carolyn and Julian's home.
I've told you about the McMurtry. Yeah, this is far.
Yeah.
The McMurtrys, yes. So they got the kids. Okay, so they showed them with clothes on, but it turned out they had safety pins pinning their clothes together.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially what happens is the police from Bairnsdale, which is the county where Carolyn and Julian lived, they go all the way down to Buchan, right? Because they're like, okay, these are probably the kids that are missing. Once they get there, it takes 200 miles is a long way. Once they get there, they separate Carolyn and Julian, and they want to know what happened, right? And this is where, I'll let y'all pick up, but this is where we start to get to safety pinned cut up clothes.
Yeah. So she starts talking about, We were on his four-wheel drive and just going to the picnic on his property.
Yep.
And we were looking for deer, and there was a deer that was skinned, and he got to check it out. And then someone was saying, get out of the car, get out of the car. And they taped around her eyes and ears and drove off with her in the car. And then there's this weird B-roll more about her remembering her birthday party.
It made no sense.
And her remembering her whole life story. Like, y'all, I gotta say, the weirdest thing about this is this crew did not even interview anybody of any victims. And they're just deciding what to put in. Of like, she must have resembled her birthday party.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah. Whenever I have been in stressful situations...
You're thinking about your birthday party.
Always. So, yeah, it is this crazy scenario. And we hear Carolyn's voice.
It's weird.
My full name is Carolyn Louise Watson. I'm 17 years of age. I'm making the statement of my own free will. Julian picked me up at around 10 a.m. from my home address in his Nissan Patrol. We'd arranged a week prior to go on a picnic at a waterfall on his property at 1353 Grand Ridge Road, Ballora. Julie was driving and I was in the front passenger seat.
So yeah, all of a sudden they're pulled over and what's his butt goes over and then some masked person attacks Carolyn.
Right.
Tape around her eyes. To your point, it all happens very fast. It's like... everything, it's hard to kind of understand. I was like, did they put tape around her hands? No, they tied her hands. They put tape around her eyes. And now they're being driven away. And she knows she's in Julian's car. I don't know how she knows that.
Would she know? Maybe it's the smell, because she also said she felt like somebody sat in a passenger seat.
So the kidnapper drives Julian's car somewhere. They're driving for a while. And she's like, you know, I kept passing out because it was so hot and they put a blanket over me. So I was in and out of consciousness. All of a sudden, the car stops. I'm yeeted out of this car, put on the ground. I hear the sound of shoveling. And I'm thinking, holy fuck, I don't know what's going to happen. Is he going to kill me and bury me?
Oh, you're being buried. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, she feels someone cutting her clothes off. And she tells police, I just started praying out loud.
Horrific.
That's what I knew. What
that
to
would
do.
Be horrible.
Horrible. And then it stops.
Especially if you just bought a blouse to go on a date for a picnic. God. I mean, it's
that
expensive.
That means that I just got that from Abercrombie Beach.
Yeah, that's terrible. She probably wore a new outfit for this date on a picnic.
I just got that from Lane Bryant, you fucking cunt.
And now he's just tearing it up.
I just went to Wet Seal the other day. God.
Y'all, I promise we're able to joke about this somewhat because... the ending will make sense. Anyway, so she doesn't know what's happening. She's praying out loud, and then all of a sudden it stops. And then it's quiet for a little while. She hears some weird sounds. Then all of a sudden she hears talking. It's kind of muffled. And she's like, Julian, is that you? And he goes, Carolyn, is that you? And she realizes that's Julian.
And the next thing she knew, he was wriggling himself towards her as they both laid on the ground. Yes, they've just freed themselves. They looked around, they appreciate they're in the middle of nowhere. They did know where the kidnappers were. So their intention at that time was to get out of there.
They're naked. They're both naked.
Butt-ass naked.
Butt naked. They're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
The truck is gone.
All they have is a sleeping bag.
I thought they were going to construct clothing out of a sleeping bag for a minute there. I thought they were going to try to rip it and put it around themselves.
Well, put a pin in that, because now we cut to... Literally. We cut back to the police station where Julian and Carolyn are being interviewed separately. And these two are blistered from extreme sunburn.
Exposure.
Oh, it looks bad.
Oh my God. There's nothing worse. And when they said that, even hearing the word sunburn, my skin crawls.
Oh, this was major. This was like when they got the movie Alive, when they were outside for so long.
Yeah.
Where the people, like, this is that kind of sunburn and exposure.
Yeah.
So by the next morning, we needed to get out to the scene where they stated that they'd been taken to and where their clothes had been cut off. So we needed them to assist us in finding that location.
No buffer zone.
No
Let's
buffers,
just
no
go
therapist.
Back.
This is in 2008. We don't care about emotion. Again, Florida, y'all, low. They don't care about emotional
Florida.
Health. Then. They just take them back to the scene. This poor woman.
Girl.
Yes.
Really? No, this is a child. She's 17 years old.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind, that she is 17.
And she's extremely naive. I think she has to be.
Yeah. Bless her heart.
So they go back to the scene of the crime, and there were a bunch of holes, and which were evidence, and a bunch of clothes in the holes, and rope, and a note.
From Satan.
That was from Satan. Same one. He,
Dear
you know,
people,
he
from Satan.
Don't you think Satan still uses carbon copy? I think that's probably what happens. There's multiple copies. Got like, you know, three.
Sane's got terrible penmanship. That's why it's typewritten, Maddie.
Yeah, in red. Like hell.
So Julian tells the investigators that after they ran away, right, once they found each other and got each other untied, they went away. And then Julian's like, you know, we need our clothes. We're in the fucking bush. So Julian found his way back to the location where they were essentially dumped.
Yes.
By their kidnappers to retrieve their clothes. He gets their cut up clothes and he safety pinned them together.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? Did they get safety pins?
So when you're packing for this picnic.
Yeah, we are going on a picnic. Yeah.
You've got like four more bags, and one is a bag just labeled duct tape, and one's labeled safety pins. Mm-hmm. The other's labeled, I don't
Vegemite.
Know, rope.
Vegemite.
And the other is just sandwiches. You know, and I think if maybe Carolyn never got a look at the back of the car and how much was in there.
I don't think she did. Yeah.
But then they still didn't have clothes on.
They don't specify the time, but I think it was like a couple days maybe.
It was a couple days later.
That's what I assumed.
Yeah.
I think they also found a Natalie Imbruglia CD in one of those holes.
Yes. She's quite an artist.
Because those clothes were torn.
That was so good.
Well done,
Maddie. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. That's called It's a Third High Noon in a Camino Pride Gummy.
So the authorities are like, all right, let me get this straight. Remember, they don't get upset in Australia. They're like, let me get this straight. They kidnapped you, tied you up, dug holes, which, by the way, is exhausting. Could you imagine?
I know.
We should say this guy, Julian, knows where all the holes are.
Yes, he does.
Right. Which is super weird. And they're like, and they put stuff in it and nothing else happened to you guys. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was so much.
No.
Nobody had anything carved in their skin,
no
like
bruises.
A satanic panic.
Yeah.
No.
Nothing. No one was touched.
This was a really, really nice satanic gang.
They have manners because there are satanic gangs who have manners.
Yes.
Yeah, no, they were like, you know what we're going to do? We love Satan and we want to scare you, but then we're going to give you free time to think about your fear. Because we don't want to infringe on that.
Yeah, the whole thing was fucking weird. And something that we should mention here is that these holes were dug in a creek bed.
Right.
And because of that, that means the holes would have been covered up quickly. And you wouldn't have necessarily known where those holes were unless you dug them yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Julian led the police right to them. So from there, Lead Inspector Matt Gleason was like, yeah.
I was quite certain that Julian had something to do with this investigation and he'd become a suspect at this point.
He's like, this Julian knows about holes, which means he's probably been to Sydney Pride.
Xanadu!
Ba, 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 ba. Talk about down under. Hey-o!
Then is it the other inspector who goes, I started to notice some reeds and wattles. Some reeds and wattles that'd been disturbed.
Well, first of all, there's no chyrons or anything in the show, but suddenly there's this huge chyron that says, scene of the crime.
Oh,
and I'm
right,
like, okay,
yeah.
So now we're in a different era. And we see this bald guy with tattoos walking in a tank top. And I'm like, who the fuck is this? And that's Detective Moreland.
He's the one in booking.
Mm-hmm. He's the lead constable.
We found the gold four-wheel drive.
Yeah, they found Julian's car.
Does anyone know what a wattle is? I know what a reed is, I think. But what's a wattle?
I think a wattle is some type of greenery or vegetation. It's got to be very Australian.
You know what it is?
I can show you what a wattle is.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. Hey, yes, look at that ass. Look at that ass.
For those listening, Joey is twerking.
It's a shame you're not a bottom anymore. But now with your blonde top hair. But no, I think a waddle, gayest restriction, you know those, and I feel like you all know what I'm going to talk about. You know in Fantasia, when the breeze blows in the grass reeds and it goes, woo, or is that the old mill, the Disney cartoon where it goes,
I think
woo.
That's the
oh, when
old mill.
Singing? And they're like singing.
And they like fall and they go, boop, 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 boop.
I think that's the old
mill. And they
play
like
mill.
Drums. I think that's what wobbles are.
Wattles.
Okay.
That is, I am such a fucking faggot. That is so gay that I made
no
that
objections
reference.
There.
Joey! Louis, guess what?
What?
Miracle Made is back.
A long time ago, Louis Armstrong went onto the moon and he was like, what? I am on the moon. And then he took some silver off the moon and then he made bed sheets with it. And that's how we got Miracle Made, right, Ellen?
Yep, exactly right.
Just kidding. Y'all, Miracle Made are sheets that are inspired by NASA and use silver-infused fabrics that are temperature-regulating so that we all can sleep at the perfect temperature all night long.
You all know that I'm a weirdo and I like everything warm, so I'm not even gonna pull at the thread of the temperature, and I'm gonna talk about the bacteria because regular bed sheets, they harbor bacteria. It's more than a toilet seat. I've given you the statistics before. It's horrible and disgusting, and why would you want to sleep on that when Miracle Made offers a whole line of self-cleaning antibacterial sheets, pillowcases, comforters? Stop being gross.
Yuck. Also, I have to tell you, they're really comfortable. They're very luxurious. I had house guests all summer, and every house guest, including you, who slept in my guest room was like, these sheets are great. I'm like, nice, Ellen. They sponsor our podcast. Sleep well.
So upgrade your sleep.
Go to trymiracle.com/thinknot to try Miracle Made sheets today.
And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use our promo, thinknot at checkout, you'll get a free 3-piece towel set and save an extra 20%.
Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund.
Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made.
Go to trymiracle.com/thinknot and use code thinknot to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40%.
Again, that's trymiracle.com/thinknot to treat yourself.
Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode, and thank you, Louis Armstrong, for discovering the moon.
Oh boy, we're gonna get so many
I'm on the moon.
This episode is brought to you by IQBar, our exclusive snack and hydration sponsor.
IQBar is the better-for-you plant protein-based snack made with brain-boosting nutrients to refuel, nourish, and satisfy hunger without the sugar crash. Y'all, all of this is a long way of saying we're addicted to IQBar.
You know, there's all the good stuff there, right? They're gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, GMO-free. There's no artificial sweeteners. And it's clean and it's delicious. But let me tell you, for someone like me who forgets to eat and then all of a sudden is mad at the world when it's really only my fault, IQ Bar always comes in clutch to be like, here you go, baby girl. Have a snack.
Listen, right now during rehearsals, IQ Mix is my best friend. It's very dry here in California and it's very easy to get dehydrated. IQ Mix is a zero-sugar drink mix that helps keep me hydrated with electrolytes, and it improves my mood and boosts clarity.
Anything that boosts your mood, I'm a big fan of. You all, I have said it, and I was put to the test on tour. People asked me if I had IQ Mix and IQ Joe and IQ Bars in my bag, and I sure did. And right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, including the sampler pack, plus free shipping.
To get your 20% off, text THINK to 64,000.
Text THINK to 64,000.
That's THINK to 64,000.
Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
I fear IQ Bar is the only boyfriend I will have for quite some time.
Oh, that's... yeah.
Only feet from where these holes were buried, they found Julian's car.
Well, first of all, they say 20 meters, Magellan.
That's literally like 12 feet.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's more feet. I'm sorry. It's like 50
Siri,
feet.
Hey, Siri, how many feet is 20 meters?
It's like 50 feet.
I don't,
or
I'm like, I know we're the only ones who do it the wrong way, but we're the greatest country in the world. I don't understand.
That's 65 feet.
There you
go. Yeah, that's a thing you would have noticed. And so the investigators are like, so you came back here, dug up your clothes, you knew where they were, and you didn't see
You didn't see your fucking car.
You just didn't look.
Right there. The whole And also, everything Julian had been telling the police really just, like the timeline was fucked. And so Inspector Detective
Constable
Go-Go Gadget Matt said to Julian, your story ain't adding up here, buddy. You know, that's when Detective Jennifer, she's like,
Detective Sergeant Rod Arthur and I pulled Carolyn aside and had a conversation with her I specifically recall asking her whether Julian could have been involved further in the offending side of this incident.
And that's when Carolyn says some really interesting things responding to that question.
So she thought about it a bit and said, the person who was driving the car drove just like Julian.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
And he was whistling that song, I Miss the Rains Down in Africa, the same way that
Toto.
Toto.
And she, yes. It's weird because Julian did that.
Go figure. What are the odds?
And that's when she said, and the person kept tapping me on the head.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, stop doing that.
But like in a loving way to be like, it's okay. Are you okay? And it's some person who has kidnapped me and put duct tape over my eyeballs is not tapping me on the head to make sure I'm okay.
I just feel like a little perspective from the victim would have been really helpful in this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like they go back to him and they're like, so we're going to give you some time to tell the truth, mate.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, I did it.
No, first he asked for 5 minutes.
He asked for 5 minutes. And then you see the reenactment, Julian. There's two cops in the foreground. And reenactment Julian is standing in the back going like this.
Yeah, literally like,
which is the universal sign for I'm thinking.
And y'all, the guy they got to play the reenactment Julian is so much hotter than the real Julian.
He's much hotter, but he is the, I don't know what Oscars or Emmy Awards are in Australia, but he feels like this is his moment to act it up.
They are the Rogers. I'm gonna win a Roger.
Yeah.
I'm just making that up.
Things that make you go,
So Julian confesses and they're like, okay, hold up. We're gonna get the camera and we're gonna film this. So the investigators are asking questions and they said, none of this happened, right? And he's like, yeah, no, none of it happened.
No.
And this isn't what happened. And then we hear this in the video.
The whole incident of Caroline being kidnapped was staged by yourself. What would you say that?
You're correct.
Why? So now they take him to the police station.
What was the purpose of this?
We'll get there.
You all, it's so good. So then they take him in for a formal interview. And so he explains it. Now, you all, they literally just tell the same story that Caroline just told. They tell the whole story again.
He says he got out of the car. He went and changed clothes. He put on a mask. And then he was like, we play hide and seek a lot. And I'm always good at scaring her. So I knew she would never know. And so I don't know what. And so, like, he scares on the side. He talks about it. He buries the clothes. He strips off his clothes. He ties himself up. Like, he acts like he drives a car 3 feet to a riverbed. Like, exactly. Word for word, point by point. So I'm thinking, as I'm watching this, cut, print, done. This is it. Like, I feel like in America, we'd be like, great, you're done, lock you up.
Yeah.
You kidnapped her.
This whole thing is so elaborate.
Yes.
They answer the most important question. And he was like, did you do that thing with the left shoe? And then he goes, yeah, I did. And they're like, why? To create confusion. I was like, mission accomplished, bro.
Yeah.
That was the weirdest.
Yeah. The Detective Mike was like, you know, there's a lot of weird things about this case.
I love that you keep changing his name every single time.
Detective Mike. Detective Buchanan. But he was really like, he wanted to create confusion. It worked. It fucking worked. We didn't know which way was up, which way was down. I don't know. Yeah, the whole thing is crazy. But also, I just kept thinking, like, so you staged this kidnap. You staged this kidnapping.
Just one kidnap.
You
just
staged that. You know what, Ellen?
You staged kidnap.
Wow. You will not disrespect me in front
in
of my
place.
Homosexual peers. You are outnumbered.
I feel ganged up on.
Listen, the whole thing, too, is I'm like, did it never occur to you how traumatic this would be for your girlfriend to stage this and cut her clothes off?
And the craziest thing is, my question would have been to Caroline, have we ever seen any signs of anything like this before? Because someone doesn't wake up the next day and say, I think I'm going to kidnap my girlfriend.
Well, she was 17. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, she's only 17. 17.
You can add that to the list of songs that sexualize young girls that people sing all the time, and we listen to the lyrics and we go, holy fucking shit, yeah. That's gross.
Yeah, it's gross.
There are so many of those songs. She was just, she looked at me and she was 16 and I knew she wanted me. And
ew.
Like, fuck you, you old guy.
That's so
like
creepy.
These old guys in their 50s writing these songs about 17-year-old girls.
Poodle ruins everything, y'all.
I ruin everything, and I'm here for it.
So they get a search warrant for
Yes. Better that way.
Please.
Miss Joey, better.
I'm just kidding.
They get a search warrant.
Well, they do. They do. They get a search warrant for Julian's home, and they take his computer and realize this motherfucker's been planning this for a month.
Yeah.
We found a number of searches in relation to the location he was ultimately found.
We have taken that.
Yeah,
I'm the illegal person, and then we can work there.
It's not illegal to have a computer. You still took it.
But that's what we're going to do. Okay, we're going to take
it. Yeah, I know.
Of more concern, there was a number of Google searches in relation to darker things.
And you see the mother, and she's all like...
quite combative.
She's very defensive.
Can we talk about her? Because...
she's a tough German woman.
This is something I will never understand. Now, I know I'm the only parent in this group because I'm normal, but
you don't
I know guys are...
You don't know homophobe.
No, it's just that you guys aren't supposed to procreate, and
Joey
spits out all his babies.
We really shouldn't.
That's true.
This is something I will never understand. I will defend my daughter till the end, but if she's done something horrible, bitch, I'm not going down with you.
Exactly. Oh.
Why is she defending? Clearly, the satanic letter, the disappearing. If I had a son and I suspected that he was a creep, I would be the first person calling 911. Why is she so hostile?
Can I bring up some of the searches?
Julian searches, yeah.
Yes. This I did kind of zoom in and pause on.
One called Death by Rape.
Yeah.
Yes.
So disturbing.
Like how to tape someone up.
Mm-hmm. How to tie ropes.
To me, the way that this program set this is this was the one time that this person ever had anything happen. I do not believe that this guy never had any bad things. He did any bad things before this.
I agree.
If they're going to do a documentary, I know we only had 42 minutes, but I would much rather have heard about his past instead of hearing how they found themselves or another joke from the police officer who was a part-time comedian.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
Incidentally, that police officer, every Tuesday night, he does a stand-up act at the Dirty Dingo.
Does the type five of the Dirty Dingo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he kills it.
Dirty Dingo.
There's a two-drink minimum. And he kills it, honestly, anytime. So if you're in the
tip your waitresses, everybody. Tip your waitresses.
Joey, I am so excited to talk about this next sponsor. Let's go.
Okay.
This podcast is sponsored by Tovala, but at this point, my whole life is sponsored by Tovala.
Tovala is a smart countertop oven and meal subscription that works together to make cooking effortless. And for us to even step foot into the kitchen, it has to be effortless.
You know, Joey and I share a brain on a lot of things. And one thing we don't like cooking. You all, I have been more honest with you than Joey has in the past. But let's be for real. You guys at this point have seen the inside of his refrigerator. So Tovala makes cooking so easy. Yes, it does. We're going to tell you about it. But the meals, you all, they are delicious.
All you have to do is scan the meal's QR code, pop that sucker in the oven, and it cooks everything perfectly. Steams, bakes, broils, automatically. Y'all, you're not doing any guesswork here. There's no, you don't need a whiteboard. You don't need to do math and geometry to figure out how to work this. Also, you can save up to $300 on the Tovala Smart Oven when you order more than 6 meals by heading to tovala.com/think and using our code THINK for a limited time.
Tovala meals are chef-crafted and taste just like homemade meals. No, they do not, because it tastes way better than my meals. I will tell you that.
Nobody ever called you a chef.
They are made with real, fresh ingredients. Y'all, I'm going to make a video for you because this is some kind of witchcraft. It is so great. And of course, you can use the oven for other things. It's a gorgeous toaster oven.
So, for a limited time, because you are an I Think Not listener, you can save up to $300 on the Tovala Smart Oven when you order meals 6+ times by heading to tovala.com/think and use our code THINK.
That's up to $300 off when you head to tovala.com/think and use promo code THINK.
One last time, that's TOVALA.com, and make sure you use our promo code THINK for up to $300 off the Tovala Smart Oven.
Remember, with Tovala, dinner is taken care of.
Come on to my house, come on to my house, Tovala.
Did you take anything from the porch?
Yes, the left shoe of every pair of shoes.
Julian, and whoever may have assisted him, thought that this was the best way to stage this kidnapping and potentially throw the police off the scent, which it did, and muddy the waters, ultimately being found out for what it was, and that is a lie.
So later on, he starts really telling the reasons. He's like, well, we only had one sleeping bag.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, Julian wanted to consummate the relationship, so in the eyes of God, we'd be married. But they'd gone, and he's like, we'd gone through this ordeal.
So kind of like on West Side Story, like when your cousin kills someone in your family, or mm-hmm. you get kidnapped and you only have a sleeping bag, that means you can get married in the eyes of God.
This is what he says. She agreed, and he says, before we die, can we get married? And then she said no. She's like, my parents would not approve.
Which, good on her.
Good on her.
I know.
Good on Carolyn Line.
I enjoyed the boundaries. The way that they pitched it was Julian was like, hey, I have this crazy idea. I think we should have sex because we've been through a lot and we're exhausted.
It's been a really tough day.
Yeah, I feel like God wouldn't be mad at us because he knows how much we've been through and we're sunburned. Look at this.
Yeah.
And he like hits his arm and, you know, it turns white and it turns red.
We're spiritually married right now.
Yeah.
And he's like, if we're going to die out here, we should get married. And Carolyn's like, no.
No.
He's like, God's going to give us a mulligan for sure.
Here's the thing.
Mulligan.
Both of them were raised very religious.
I know, yeah.
And sex before marriage was a big no-no. But Carolyn was very devout. And she was like, no, you're not getting this hoo-ha. You're not getting this punani. It's not going to happen.
You guys say hi to my Thomas is here.
Hi, that's Thomas.
Look at this sweet face.
Oh.
Are y'all gonna... I'd suck his dick.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's cute.
Suck his dick as
oh, Alexa,
suck his dick, suck his dick. Alexa just went, suck his dick, added to shopping list.
You guys are so disgusting. They're gay.
Thomas, look at you, you cutie pie.
I didn't know you were into redheads. Look at you.
A little kiss. Give him a little kiss.
Oh,
give him a little kiss. Go on. Give him a little kiss.
Oh.
I'm coming. These, they're gay.
Did he just ask when you're coming?
Take your shirt off, Thomas, you slut.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, yes.
You know what? I'm okay with straight love, but don't shove it in my face. That's all
I'm
going to say.
I'm not into white men, and he is
all
hot.
Right, Thomas, I love you, but you got to get out of here. We got
to
wrap this shit up.
We need to finish up. I love
Joey's getting
drunk.
Oh, my
drunk. God. He has tattoos, too.
Oh.
He has a lot of tattoos and a huge dick.
Mm. Oh.
I could tell you that.
Yeah, I could sense it.
I could tell you that, and I wasn't going to tell you until he was out of the room.
Yeah, we have the gift.
It's long.
Here's the thing. In Julian's interview, he said, I only asked Carolyn to marry me. She was the one who suggested that we have sex.
Oh, this is where I went, you like, fucking piece of shit.
Oh, yeah. He was like, I just wanted to take vows because I felt uncomfortable about us sleeping in this sleeping bag together naked.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they say, wow, interesting, because Carolyn says you were the one who brought up sex since the first night that y'all were kidnapped in quotation marks, right? And you were the one who kept saying if you guys had sex, it would keep you warm and you'd have a better chance of survival. Let me remind you, they were missing for 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that somebody was suggesting survival sex for 8 fucking days.
Well, okay, this is my absolute favorite part of the whole show. This is what they say after the whole survival sex, because he's saying, no, I asked marriage. She's saying, no, he asked for sex. I don't even have to do a hand raise to see who we believe. But then they say this.
Why did you take her against her will?
I wanted to spend more time with her.
Okay. Okay. Hear me out, gays. Listen, I'm going to reframe this, okay? Now, the thing that we all have in common is, sadly, we are attracted and we date men.
The worst.
Most men do the least. They won't text you back. They won't plan anything. They won't make a reservation. They don't know your birthday until it like shows up on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
And this guy, I mean, go with me here. He's like, we're not doing dinner and a movie or something. He's like, I'm going to simulate a hostage crisis. I mean,
it's a lot of work.
Like, he's prepared. He went.
He's trying.
He thought about this for 2 months.
The trauma, the distress, all of this was because Julian wanted to have sex.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Julian is arrested and charged, and this motherfucker goes to trial, and everyone in Australia hears about it. And I don't know what the fuck to think, because this shit is insane. Anyway, honey, the police had mountains of evidence to prove that he had done this. He had orchestrated it, planned it for a month.
This trial pissed me off.
Wait, this guy is pleading not guilty.
Yep. Well, that's the thing.
And everyone's like, they have you dead to rights. And then they were like, what's your defense? I thought he was going to say romance. And then I was going to have to be on his side. I was like, okay, you can't beat that. He should have said romance. He missed the boat there.
Can I just say, I noticed something. He's pleading not guilty. And he says he was coerced by the police.
Right.
The judge ruled all the evidence inadmissible with the showing them where they were because they had no cell service in this butt-fucking Egypt they were in, because he had no access to call a lawyer.
The first video out in the wilderness.
That's a really good lawyer who came up with that.
Yeah, but then he already gave the confession.
They have the confessions. These are my confessions, as Usher said.
That was not 2008.
Yeah. Could you imagine if you were like the lawyer and they was like, all right, so let's like work out a plea deal. And he's like, no, I'm not guilty. And they're like,
No.
They have tapes.
See, I needed to know, this guy is like, is he a sociopath? Is he definitely narcissist. Probably a narcissist?
No, this guy's a monster.
Is he a psychopath? Like, I needed to know a little bit of the mental history of this guy so Ryan Murphy can make a movie about this.
We don't know that, and that is what this show fell so short on. I guarantee you this guy probably, like, tortured animals or some shit like that. And there were other women. There were other girls and things like that.
Yeah, you don't wake up and do this.
You don't wake up and do that.
You don't go, hey, it's Tuesday, I'm going to look up death by rape.
Mm-hmm.
I do. What a great way to come back in, Joey.
What a great thing to do.
I've got to say this. They're showing the receipts he had. Did you see one was a Big W? And I went, is that Big Lots?
It is Big Lots. Who keeps... Why would you... First of all, this guy's an idiot. Why would you go buy supplies and when the checker says, would you like a receipt with that? You say no!
Please.
You don't need a receipt.
And I'm going to keep it because I save all my receipts
and
because my accountant
cash.
Is very, very smart about that kind of thing.
It's a write-off.
It's a write-off.
Wow.
And so Carolyn is testifying and...
Bless her.
On the evening of the second day, Julian first started talking about sex. Basically, Julian told me that if we had sex, it would keep us warm and we would have a better chance of survival. And that we would be married before God. Most days, Julian would say that it was getting colder and maybe I should reconsider having sex with him to keep warm.
Honestly, I've heard crazier pitches for sex. If someone was like, sex will keep us warm, like, I've done more for less.
Gays don't need it. We're just like, we don't need a pitch.
Well, I did just bang a guy because he had two schnauzers and he was a terrible kisser and had a very bad dick. But I'm still thinking of going back to him because I want to meet his dogs.
He wants to talk to this guy's dogs.
Because I love schnauzers. I used to have a schnauzer. And so, like, I didn't get to meet the dogs the first time because he doesn't like people to meet dogs the first time they hook up. And so he's texting me again and he said...
Children.
Thank you.
Pictures of the schnauzers and video of the schnauzers.
Could you imagine Joey being like, Tucker, Edie, you can't. No. I do not let them meet men on the first date.
He doesn't. And I respected it.
Listen, the thing is that is a very straight person thing, right? Like, gay people, you're not pressuring.
You don't have to persuade me to have sex.
No, I mean, but maybe you are.
Well, I'm a little bit demisexual. I'm different than y'all.
I can't speak for all gays. But listen,
you don't have to be persuaded to have sex, though, if a guy sends you his dick pic.
That's true.
Carolyn was like, let me tell you, from the first night that we were, quote, kidnapped, he was suggesting sex every single night.
So gross.
It got to the point where he got so frustrated with me, so angry, that he was like, you know what? Fine, you don't want to marry me? You don't want to have sex with me? When we get out of the situation, I will never speak to you again. That, in and of itself, says exactly what kind of person this guy is.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he took the witness stand, which I cannot even imagine.
Narcissist. Ellen called it. That's a purity narcissist.
Yeah. He is a narcissist.
He was like, oh, my back is against the wall. They have airtight evidence. You know what I want to do? Yeah, I want to take the stand in my defense.
He is a Luke from The Sociopath Next Door. Read that book, y'all. He is a Luke.
And so then the jury, of course, found him guilty. Thank God. At the sentencing, he was a no-show.
Okay, but this is because, can we talk about Australia? It just seems so lax. Like, we never, think about this. We watched a whole documentary of this guy. We never saw a video or picture of him in handcuffs.
Yep.
Until they caught him after he had already fled his sentencing hearing.
You're so
the
right.
The fact that this guy was just out.
People are just walking around, just be like, I might get convicted for murder. We'll see. I'm going to go to Target right now. And get some Bobby for the shrimp or whatever the fuck they say.
And, y'all, the parents and friends showed up.
Sure.
And they asked his mother, do you know where he was? He's like, I don't know where he is. You know, he must have forgot what day it was. You know, we definitely did not get him another passport. You know.
Shiza.
We then got a warrant issued by the court and had that listed against his name on all our police systems. He'd managed to get a passport that was an Indian passport.
Bear in mind, this was a young man born in Germany. He had fair hair, fair skin, and blue eyes. You couldn't make this up.
Well, it turns out that Julian is not only an asshole, he's a racist asshole. Because he forged an Indian passport.
Of all the places.
Yep. Dyed his hair black and then put shoe polish on his face.
Your pores are not going to be the same.
To pose as an Indian man. Y'all, this man was born in Germany. He is a German blue-eyed, blonde-haired man who tried to pose.
Hitler would have passed him over. He's that Aryan.
The Hitler youth would have loved to have him.
They would like, you're great. It's just, you can stay.
Yeah.
Why didn't he pick an easier country?
That's what I was going to say.
Norway or Sweden.
I think it's because India has an easier passport. Issue.
Do you think so? Because, y'all, we saw the picture of him, and it looked like, you know, it reminded me the picture of him on his passport with his shoe polish and the hair. It was, like, on par with, like, when John Candy would do drag as a woman.
In Nothing But Trouble.
You just knew. It was, like, so little makeup. It was not even trying, but you bought it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? He looked like Gilbert Gottfried.
No, I mean, he looked terrible.
Was like,
terrible.
I am from India. I love
that's
Mumbai
a good Gilbert God.
Bollywood.
That's a really good Gilbert Godfrey.
To India. And who's got the masala? Did I tell you I starred in Aladdin, which doesn't take place in India, but I'm a racist asshole. Like, you know what I mean?
The poolery. Like, you need to call Affleck to be their new duck, Joey.
Wait, he did die.
Gilbert Gottfried? No, he's alive.
Gilbert Gottfried, he did not die.
No, he died.
Ellen, you're killing people. No. You are killing people
Gilbert
tonight.
Gilbert Gottfried dead?
I think he did die, actually.
Oh, really?
I'm looking it up.
He died in 2022.
Okay, fine.
Thank God. Not on us.
Not on us.
Toy.
The Melbourne people at the airport, Melbourne, they just say, yep, you're good. You look great.
Nothing is serious in Australia.
They're like, you're great.
Sir, there's black stuff coming off of your hair that you just touched.
Sweaty. There's something on your collar.
He looked like Rudy Giuliani when Rudy Giuliani gave that speech in the Four Seasons, but it was the Four Seasons gardening place.
It was
place.
Just dripping down.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish he was dead.
But Australia doesn't give a fuck. Y'all, don't commit crimes, but if you do, do it there. They don't care.
Obviously.
They literally let this man go with a Kinko's cut, copy, paste, fake passport, and shoe polish on his face.
And he's so stupid that he goes to India, and then
he was stopped in Singapore.
He was stopped in Singapore, and there they're on their shit. But he put his original birth certificate in his suitcase.
Yep.
But remember, Singapore is the place where you get arrested for, like, spitting.
Yeah, or caning. You get caned,
Yes, I always swallow when I'm in Singapore. But only in Singapore. Only Singapore. So, not in North Dakota. No, thank you. So,
but to your point, who travels with their birth certificate?
You put it in a Ziploc bag up your butt, not your suitcase.
Well, I mean, the man thought that he was leaving Australia forever. Whatever. It doesn't matter, because not only did he get detained in the Singapore airport,
he had been sentenced in his absence. I think it was 7.5 years jail for the kidnapping. And then later he received another 6-month sentence for failing to attend at court and for the false passport.
I could not believe that was 6 months. He could have gotten away.
In the US, kidnapping is a charge that gets a lot of years, usually.
But you would be surprised. There are other charges, even in the US, like a lot of child abuse charges and things like that, that only get things like 5 to 7 years.
Yes. Yeah,
I totally agree. But for some reason in the US, kidnapping is one of those charges that you can, if you're found guilty, you get like 20 years.
But I mean, like, jumping the country, not showing up for his sentencing hearing.
No, like, this guy does not need to be in society. Like, the fact that he was even arrested and convicted, and then they gave him bail to, like, walk around.
And the mom was like, he only wanted to go on a picnic. It was fine. I will say, his fucking mother knew he was going to
India. No, his mother was in the car.
His mother knew something.
His mother was in on it.
Why would his mother be in on to have sex? I don't think the mother was in the car. I think the mother definitely contacted the passport people, and the mother was involved in getting him out of the country, for sure.
I agree with that 100%. Mm. He got out after he served his time, and Australia was like, I don't care where you go, you can't stay here.
Which is amazing.
So here's the thing about Julian. His family moved to Australia when he was like 1 year old, and he never got his citizenship.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. Australia was like, yeah, thanks for coming here. Thanks for serving your time. You're going back to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really disturbing about this whole thing,
I know you're
more than anything.
This was had me going. I was like staring through like it's the wall for a while, but keep going.
Oh, I was going to say he never showed any remorse. He looked smug the entire time. There was nothing.
AKA smug shot.
But what were you going to say, Poodle?
The last comment that we hear is from the main police guy. What's his name?
Matt. Detective Matt.
Gleason.
Matt Gleason. Turns out that he and his brother watched a movie called Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Oh, my. Okay, wait. Do you guys know Seven Brides for Seven Brothers?
Hail, oh, yes. Them sobbing women.
Honestly,
lived in
I can't believe that this isn't a bigger topic of conversation on how problematic this musical is.
Well, it's not done anymore. It's rarely done anymore for reasons. And the only reason you would do that musical anyway is the dancing.
Them was sobbing, sobbing,
although
sobbing.
Maddie's High School did it. And I think for different reasons.
But okay, for the people at home.
I was Gideon in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, and my cousin, Tara Talaferro, was Alice, and I had to kiss her on stage, but she was my cousin, so we had to do it.
To clarify, was there a lot of dancing in this?
That's the clarification you need, Poodle. He kissed his cousin.
I'm here today to get me a wife. I don't aim to go back home empty-handed. Now, you're all pretty and fresh and young. Now, keep in mind.
I just want to tell the people at home. So they were saying that they had watched this musical.
This golden age classic movie musical. Very normal to do with your brother.
I watched it over and over and over as a
which
child.
Which is fucked up.
It is so terrible. Someone was like, let's take Stockholm Syndrome and make it a musical. Am I right?
Yes.
Technically, it's based on the Bible of the Sabine women, I believe.
The parable of the women Sabine women.
The parable of the Sabine women.
So here's the 30-second recap for non-musical theater nerds.
Go.
Seven lumberjack brothers are living in the woods. They're lonely. They want wives.
Who jerk off too much. Yeah.
Right. And they were like, should I date? Nah. Should I go at the grocery store and meet a lady? No. Oh, hold on. Hear me out. Let's go kidnap
seven women to marry us all.
And it's a literal, like, it's like a crime spree with jazz hands because they're dancing and they're making a cute.
But it's a quaint kidnapping.
You all, they trap these women in the cabin and they're like, oh, you can't leave. There's an avalanche. Oh my God. And the women are like, okay, we're hostages, but like this dancing is really cool, right?
Yeah.
And then the women marry the brothers.
They grow to love them. What's wrong with that?
Could you imagine being in that pitch meeting, though, for the musical? And they're like, you guys, it's human trafficking, but hear me out. Okay.
I have a feeling that most of the pitch meeting in that musical was men saying, hey, that sounds like a great idea. I wish I'd done that with my wife. You know, I mean, because it was like 1951 or something
there
like
was,
that.
There was even, not even Sob and Women. There's also the one song that's, bless your beautiful hide wherever you may be.
You sound like those golden age musicals.
You ain't met yet, but I'm willing to bet you're the... And literally the lyrics are, well, I stalked my something and I got my mule, but who... It's literally comparing women to animals.
Yeah.
But it's a... I love the music. It's beautiful.
You can't really do the show anymore.
I used to dance around my living room singing June Bride.
It's crazy. Well, either way, they're saying... I love that they're like, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers might be the inspiration for this fucking...
It might be the inspiration.
And he watched it several days before.
And then the best part ever is that the priest like says, you know... I'm a Russ Tamblyn fan. I'm a big fan of Russ Tamblyn. But when I watch West Side Story, I don't think I need to be in the Jets. And if you don't know this, for deep musical theory, Russ Tamblyn was in West Side Story. He was in Seven. He was actually Gideon, my role in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
This was possibly the gayest thing I've ever seen.
Oh.
This man talking about Tom Thumb. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Russ Tamblyn.
I remember watching Tom Thumb.
If he would have listed four more Russ Tamblyn roles, I would have lost my shit.
I wonder if Russ Tamblyn was a homosexual.
Oh my God, I love that y'all are bringing this person up. He's like, you know, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. It's a great movie. I much prefer Meet Me in St. Louis. Anyway, have a great night. But that's where the episode ends, y'all. I mean, it seems like the fact that they throw in Seven Brides for Seven
Russ
Brothers.
Russ Tamblyn is still alive, by the way.
Not anymore.
He is 90.
Shut the fuck up. But it does seem like there was some weird inspiration for this. So yeah, y'all, the moral of the story is that if you let Jesus do it, he'll ruin your sex life.
Amen.
Well, I think the moral of the story is don't watch movie musicals.
Mm.
Yeah. Especially about kidnapping.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Somebody could watch Phantom of the Opera and go, I'm just going to kidnap some bitch at a theater.
I think the moral of the story is when a man takes you to the woods and says that he needs to have sex with you to stay warm, he's lying.
He's lying. He's lying.
I'm not falling for that again.
It dropped all the way down to 58 degrees.
All right. I mean, this whole thing has been hilarious and stupid and fucking weird, but Joey, say something funny.
Well, what I've learned is that golden age musicals will turn you crazy. They'll make you a desperate faggot.
Yes,
please.
Yes. Let's make contact.
Poppers.
Stars down, bitches. I don't know what's happening. I don't know where we are, but Maddie and Poodle from The Reality Gaze, you all, you have to like, subscribe, follow them on Instagram, download their podcast, follow them on YouTube.
We are on YouTube.
They'll drop their Grindr names. And
Poodle's on Grindr. I'm on Scruff.
Can I tell y'all something real quick? We got a ton of posts on our Facebook being like, hi, the world is on fire. We would love it if you would do another co-pro with Reality Gaze because it brought us such joy.
That actually made me teary.
It's true. We're not exaggerating. There were a lot of people asking for it. And so we were like,
that's really sweet.
We're happy to do it. We love you guys.
Are you crying?
Y'all are so funny.
I'm just a little too weird. Well, it's the gummy.
And it's also you're ripped.
Hey, Maddie. Yeah, I am. Maddie.
Joey's ripped. Yeah.
You know what I want to say to you? Shut your mouth or I'll fuck it.
Yeah.
Say it to me in Australian.
We're going to end that.
I don't have a gag reflex, and I just got my adult braces off, so you're good to go.
Yeah, he just got his adult braces off, so we're all great.
Ellen, I have to say this on air before we leave. Message me later. I need to know your skincare regimen because your skin is fucking glowing, whore.
Thank you.
Look great.
It looks great.
Y'all both look great.
I just put Joey on my new skincare routine, and I'm obsessed, and I will tell you.
Is it Korean?
Everyone's doing Korean.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, DBs, please follow our friends. They're just as weird as we are, and we love it. You all, please, we want to come talk trash with you. You guys are always welcome here. The world is on fire. Thank you for coming and laughing with us and just jumping on in. Follow them, Reality Gaze Podcast. Do all the things. Support them the way you support us. Until next time, I love you, Joey.
Lady T. Ellen Marie Martian. I love you, Mitty and Poodle.
I love you, Double T.
Love y'all.
Bye.
Love
y'all. Bye. Gay butt stuff.
You're going to have to take some stuff out because I'm going to say really inappropriate questions.
Rick is going to be ready with
okay,
the beat.
Perfect.
Rick.
Is Rick cute?
He's adorable and he's so sweet.
Hi.
He doesn't deserve the
is
things that we do to him.
Yes, oh, and he's straight.
Yeah, he's married with two gorgeous children. But
happily?
Are they open?
Okay.
Yeah. No, they... leave him alone.
Okay.
I asked a gay guy who was on our show one time, and I'm like, are you married? And he said, yes. And I said, are you open?
He said it on our podcast.
See, you're terrible people.
Oh, okay, you can do it, mate.
You do it. Where is it in my nose?
Oh, because you're fucking drunk.
I'm high now.
She thought about it. She thought, you shut the fuck up.
I have to pee. Y'all keep talking.
Joey's drunk.